I wish you could read us in it.
Oh, okay. How does it stop?
I didn't
oh, that's
prepared.
Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. All our blessings of His love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. That's a good chorus. Yes, I've been hearing that for years. Thank you. I was just teasing Sister Hofflander a little bit. We go way back. unless I tell you this, you probably would never imagine this image. Once I was in a little plane, single-engine plane, and I was flying over the small city of Waukegan, Illinois, and the pilot of that plane kind of, I guess, dipped a little lower as we got near to the house where he lived. And that happened to be the Full Gospel Chapel. There was an apartment in the back, or a dwelling in the back where he lived with his parents. The pilot was Jonathan, and we were flying together. He was flying, although later he let me fly too. But Sister Hofflander saw us. She went out in the backyard and she took, I think it was a sheet, off the line and was waving it wildly. Can you imagine? So we go way back. One time Ernie and I visited the Hofflanders. We were on our break from college in the middle of the year, like January time, something like that. And on the winter break, so we went out to the West Coast and visited the Comars, whom we knew from Pilgrim Camp so well, and John Comar had been in our church also years before that. And on our way back, we visited the Hofflanders. And I still remember Brother Hofflander so kindly taking us to different places. There's a museum in Chicago. I don't think there's, maybe there is now, but at the time there was nothing like it that I knew of anywhere. It was called the Museum of Science and Industry. And he wanted to show us the Museum of Science and Industry. He took us there, and it was really a great museum. All kinds of hands-on things that you could do. And he showed us other things around the city. But at this museum, there was a vast, as I recall, rather large parking lot, and we didn't park too close to the door, even though there were parking places. And I guess I wondered about that when we'll park here. And he got out, and he had a long winter coat, what you would wear if you were a dignified gentleman, with maybe a suit jacket on underneath. You might wear this long, dark coat. And I just remember how he was locking the car, closing and the door. And you had to know Brother Hofflander, I guess, for this to be as amusing as it was to Ernie and me. He said, "Have you fellows done any running today?" And he turned around and ran. He just ran for the museum. His coat was flapping, and Ernie and I couldn't run because we were just doubled over laughter watching it. It was very active, and he's still with us. Just couldn't make it this year, but he liked to do things, you know. We enjoyed our visits with the Hofflanders. Brother Hofflander would take me out in the morning, and he would first say to me, "Wouldn't you like to go play some tennis?" tomorrow morning, okay, we'll meet such and such a time. And then we'd go to the tennis court. Of course, I didn't know how to play tennis, and I thought he did, and he did. Comparison to me, he did when I come home. So you didn't beat him? He doesn't know how to play tennis? Yeah, Brother Hoffman had four sons, you know. To them, he didn't know what he was doing on the tennis court, but it was... We always had fun with them. So I'm so happy to be here with Jonathan and Sister Hofflander. But I do want us this morning just to, or I do want to give opportunity to you this morning to share a promise from God's Word. If you have one that you're, maybe you're standing on, that means something special to you, and you're holding it before the Lord, or something, maybe it comes from a while back, as Brother Peter's did, how God made it so real to him that he was right there with him and his wife. And so I'd just like to give opportunity for that yet this morning before we look into a passage of Scripture together.
Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. There was a time in my life when I don't even know how to describe it. I was just very restless, and I felt like I was constantly on a caffeine high. It was a time when the Lord drew me to himself, but I had to get rid of a lot of baggage that I had accumulated. And that's the only way I can describe it. I just felt as though jittery and on edge. And it was at the time when Brother Gardner had his winter program here for ministerial training, and I was able to come up here. I had owned a restaurant and I just sold it, and so I had time and I had funds that I could just take off when I wanted. So I would often come up here on weekends, and it was during the quiet times, the altar services in that room, in the prayer room, where the Lord, during that quiet time, I didn't know what he was doing. It's often we experience that here where it gets real quiet. Mostly everyone has left, and God is working, deep work. Mm-hmm. And that verse, shall keep your mind, and the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I don't know when it happened, it wasn't nothing spectacular, but that lifted. And I attribute it all to sitting in the presence of the Lord, where Jesus Christ himself brings that peace. And it takes over our minds. And I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you. Like a river, glorious is God's perfect peace. Over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect, yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect, yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully finding as he promised perfect peace on earth.
And haven't we found that so, that when we have come to the Lord with a sincere heart to truly draw near to him, we have always found that his heart is open to us. We've had some things to deal with, some things to take care of in order to approach him, yes, because we haven't always been walking as we should have, living aright. But when we have come near, when we draw near, he wants to straighten those things out. He wants our fellowship, and so we have always found it so that his heart is open to us. And he's ready to work in us, ready to receive us just as we are and make the changes that we need. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Perhaps we should sing that. I've noticed a number of these verses fit with that song that I mentioned, Lean on His Arms. So let's sing 394. Correct me if that's wrong.
Thank you. 394.
Those who'd like to stand, we can do that together as we sing. Just lean upon the arms of Jesus. He'll help you along, help you along. If you trust his love unfailing, he'll fill your heart with song. Lean on his arms, trusting in his love. Lean on his arms, all his mercies prove. Lean on his arms, looking home above. Just lean on the Savior's arms. Just lean upon the arms of Jesus. He'll brighten the way, brighten the way. Just follow gladly where he leadeth, his gentle voice obey. Lean on his arms, trusting in his love. Lean on his arms, all his mercies prove. Lean on his arms, looking home above. Just lean on the Savior's arms. Just lean upon the arms of Jesus. Oh, bring every care, bring every care. The burden that has seemed so heavy, take to the Lord in prayer. Trusting in his love, lean on his arms, all his mercies prove. Lean on his arms, looking home above, just lean upon the Savior's arms. Let's be seated as we sing verse 4. Just lean upon the arms of Jesus, then leave all to him, leave all to him. His heart is full of love and mercy. His eyes are never dim. Lean on his arms, trusting in his love. Lean on his arms, all his mercies prove. Lean on his arms, looking home above. Just lean upon the Savior's arms. Lean on his arms, trusting in his love. Lean on his arms, all his mercies prove. Lean on his arms, looking home above. Just lean on the Savior's arms. Praise the Lord.